This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made.
Okay, everyone. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is your host, Charles Giuliani, again. Got a great guest this evening. You're listening in, of course, on BBS Radio. And the website for the radio show is thepeoplespeakradio.net. Our guest this evening is Will Thomas. He's a Canadian author and journalist. He's done a lot of investigating into, amongst other things, 9/11, depleted uranium, and a lot of the other fiascos that are going on in this George Orwellian nightmare world of ours. So with no further ado, got lots to talk about tonight. Let's bring on our guest. Welcome to the show, Will.
Thank you very much, Charles. Pleasure to be with you and your listeners tonight.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. Let's start with you, your background, how you got into all of this. I'm most interested in, you know, how you came to the truth of 9/11. I always like to ask people that. It's interesting to hear the different stories, you know, of how people, were you aware that there was a problem from the beginning, or is this something that came on later? Or?
No, I was not aware. In fact, I wrote the first book, the first documented book on 9/11, started it immediately after those attacks, and it was published in December of 2001. But the reason I delved into it as an investigative reporter for many decades now, I just looked at the story as we were given it and decided to start by accepting that at face value and then seeing how well it would hold up. In other words, I did not start with a bias to attack the official story or to disprove it or come up with another theory. I looked at it, investigated it, and found it, well, full of holes, as most of us know, and went on from there. Interestingly, Charles, about 2 years ago, or actually less than that, I wrote the most recent documented book on 9/11, Days of Deception, Ground Zero and Beyond, and that was at the request of my publisher to update the first book, and I called him back and said, listen, I can't update it. It needs a whole new book because we have so
yeah.
much more information and tapes and everything else.
Right.
So that's basically how I came to 9/11 Truth.
Excellent. That's fantastic. Yeah, the official story is only meant for the average gullible person that doesn't look into things. You know, you just accept it carte blanche and then just move on and don't think about it again. It all sounds neat and tidy. But
well,
the moment
you know,
the moment you look at it just crumbles.
Yeah.
Right.
You pushed a hot button there because the people who are gullible, we can talk about people who are gullible, but we're also talking about members of my profession. Professional trained journalists prove to be extremely gullible, and that's not their job. That's not our job at all. So that's where I'm very, very concerned is how the press dropped the ball, not only, of course, on 9/11, but on the other lies subsequent to that.
Well, they make it too easy for them. You know, they don't even have to do any investigative journalism. They just sit there and everything's handed to them on a silver platter, literally. You know, they just give them the script sheet. Here, just read this. And they think that's what they're supposed to do.
That's right. And, of course, the script sheet comes from the White House, comes from corporations intimately involved with the mass media. And so basically
sure.
they are reading press releases. And if they demur, if they say, no, thanks, I don't think so, I'm going to ask some questions, they're out of there, and there's 20 people out in the hallway that would love to have their job.
And you know that's why in this country particularly there's been a big push to get rid of the old-time news hosts, you know, like Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, you know, because they knew the difference. They were around years ago, and even though they were involved somewhat in cover-ups, they did do their own investigations, you know, but today they want to get away from that. They want you to just be a talking head that reads off the prompt screen or whatever. And so there's been a push to you know, bring in the new recruits and out with the old, and that's pretty much what they've done.
pretty much. I'm very, very concerned at the consolidation of media into a few hands and the acquiescence of journalists to this party line, to this entertainment medium. And so that's what I do, Charles. I write books and investigate stories that the mainstream media refuses to touch, things like cell phone health hazards, things like the undeclared biological and the radioactive war in the Middle East, in the Gulf, major stories that I have brought to the attention of the press here in Canada and in the United States to no avail.
So you're seeing the same type of look the other way, hear no evil, see no evil in the Canadian media as well, huh?
I'm afraid so, at least in the type of stories I've just mentioned. I would say, generally speaking, the Canadian press, CBC and the Canadian press, are more open, have a more European outlook toward news and report slightly more sides to stories than we would get in
the
United
States. But
with
the big ones, they tend to hands off.
No, they go with the corporate line. It's all corporate,
yeah,
regardless of where you are on the planet.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we see that with the BBC. They've brought some very good things out over the years.
Oh, yeah.
But they go along generally with the program. They're certainly
well,
not
we
talk
haven't
about 9/11.
Not 9/11, not depleted uranium.
Yeah.
Very, very big stories.
Yeah, a lot of people still have not gotten it. And, of course, unfortunately, you know, a lot of our soldiers that go over there certainly haven't gotten it. It's just they're walking into a death trap. And I'm not just talking about the actual fighting and dealing with non-armored vehicles. I'm talking about the depleted uranium. Now, this.
Yeah, you're talking about breathing, basically, just breathing over there. And we have to use the word genocide. When applied to the Iraqi population, we have over 1 million dead right now from the latest invasion and attack on Iraq, mostly women and children, and that's from munitions, mostly airdrop munitions. But if we factor in the depleted uranium, we are in the many millions, according to UN health people and others who have actually looked into the tonnages of depleted uranium and extrapolated civilian casualties from that.
Yeah, maybe those women and children were the weapons of mass destruction Bush was talking about, because they certainly have ridded Iraq of them.
Boy, yeah, I think that the real weapons of mass destruction, of course, and the dirty bombs that the Bush administration loves to frighten the American public with, these radioactive dirt bombs,
are over here.
Actually, they're being released every day, every time a tank, an American tank, opens fire, or a Warthog attack plane lets loose with its Gatling gun. That's all radioactive, dirty
sure.
weaponry that atomizes. But here's the catch, of course. Here's the catch. Again, according to British scientists and medical people, this stuff is circling the globe now on upper atmospheric winds, and so it's coming right back to us and
sure.
to others.
Oh, yeah, they're right across the Atlantic.
Yes.
And this is what's so amazing is these people, they're so drunk on power, they don't even seem to care that they themselves ultimately are going to suffer from this as well.
That's right. The level of denial is gigantic. I think it's certainly as much as big as the hubris, the arrogance and the ignorance that goes along with it. And you're quite right. It's quite amazing. You know, I often tell people, inform people who are so concerned and baffled, frankly, baffled by the actions of political leaders, corporations, against their own interests, as you just mentioned. And I say often, you know, stop talking sense. Don't try to think of these actions logically. They are pathological. They are not logical. And you'll simply hurt your brain and become very depressed if you try to ascribe reason or rationale to acts of insanity.
Yeah, literally. It's no exaggeration.
Literally.
These people are crazy.
No.
Dangerously crazy.
Yes, dangerously crazy. And here we are with all of these perils and incentive to change. And I think people are waking up. You know, it's very hard to tell. We have radio shows like your own, and others, public radio in particular, but as far as the mainstream press, they are not reporting on the consciousness revolution, if we can use those terms, on any kind of spiritual revolution and upwisings, as someone once put it, around the world. So we don't have a good gauge, but I think that certainly public opinion outside of the United States is overwhelmingly and very loudly against violence as a means of conflict resolution, which, of course, it does nothing of the kind.
Yeah, all the propaganda and all the Prozac in the world is not going to get the general public to embrace that, certainly not over here, especially.
Well, that's good news. You know, I'm really concerned, maybe you can help me out here, but from my vantage north of the border, I'm increasingly concerned at something that I never dreamed possible, given his utterances, but it looks like Mr. McCain is on his way to the presidency.
Oh, well, they got that new propaganda ploy that they're pulling now, calling Obama the Antichrist.
Oh, really?
It's like the number one. Oh, yeah, there's some documentary on it, or mini-docu on YouTube, I guess, and they say it's like the number one most downloaded. You see,
oh my Lord,
the neocon artists know that the Christian wannabe right-wing religious fruitcakes will fall for anything you toss their way, especially if Pat Roberts sin.
Yes, that's right.
If he embraces it, then it's a done deal. So if they can call this guy the Antichrist, obviously the Christian nutballs, so-called Christians, you know, are going to vote for McCain. They know that that's given them the edge in the past. That's how Bush got the support that he got originally, you know. It was from that crowd. You know, the Bible Belt, that's a huge sector of the population, and they all vote.
Oh, it is.
Because they want to change the country for Jesus. Yeah, the Jesus of the neocons.
Yeah, not the other Jesus of the Bible.
Slap you on that. What's that?
Excuse me, not the Jesus of the Bible, not the real Jesus.
Right.
Who would have nothing
right.
to do with this whatsoever.
Yeah, the Jesus who says, turn the other cheek so I can slap you on that side.
That's right. Well, you know, I'll bring us back on topic here by simply remarking that the flip side here of Mr. McCain, and I do mean flip side, is his endorsement of the Georgia predicament there and his utterances, warlike utterances, let's go to war with Russia, let's show Putin's who's boss, very foolish rhetoric when applied to someone like Mr. Putin. But also that got a huge, apparently from what I'm reading, great reception in the United States, played very well. And to bring it back full circle, my latest book that I'm working on as we speak is called Zombie Nation. And this is a book that has been, I guess 8 years in genesis, ever since I undertook the chemtrails investigation and wondered, as so many of your listeners and others have, when approaching someone on the street and saying, hey, look up at the crisscross, you know, crosshatch patterns of, you know, 10, 12, 20 of these jet trails, and they wouldn't even look up, I thought, you know, that's not simply denial. That's not simply apathy. There's something else going on here. And so I began an investigation, and as I mentioned, that's culminating in a book, some of which is excerpted on my website, willthomasonline.net. People can check that out. There's a couple of chapters already up. And
yeah, give us that again.
Yeah, it's willthomasonline.net. And I've got a couple of chapters of Zombie Nation up there, and the thesis of the book, are Americans in particular, brain dead or brain damaged or both? And I think the book makes a very clear case for brain damage, literal physical brain damage, again, all documented, drawing on medical studies showing the effects of cell phones, microwaves, aspartame, you know the list. Of things that actually damage the human brain, reduce the ability to concentrate, to focus, to think straight, ask questions. And then we have, of course, the propaganda that we've been talking about, the brainwashing. People are always contacting me, very concerned about being mind-controlled with exotic weaponry and strange vans parked in front of their houses. And I always ask them, well, I respect your concerns, but how do you rate as an individual that attention? The real brainwashing, the real mind control is taking place with that box in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in every room in the house. Get that thing unplugged, turn it off, because television is the brainwashing medium of choice.
It really is, and right out of Orwell's 1984. I mean, we're here already. This isn't future anymore.
We're here, yeah.
I just wanted to mention, if anybody has any questions for our guests, I already have some coming in through the text from the Pal Talk listeners. But, yeah, anybody wants to questions for our guest, the number internationally toll-free is 877-489-6350. And then in the USA or Canada, or is 888-228-4494. But let me go to the first question here we have in the text. I've got this is from Jack in Canada. He says, do you have any information on elevated tritium levels after the towers were vaporized? Do you know anything about that? Tritium or tritium?
Tritium, I believe. I have heard talk and allegations in the 9/11 truth movement of radioactive material being found after the towers came down. I have not myself seen any scientific studies. The studies that many of us have seen, and they are available online, and they are actual scientific studies, show that some kind of incendiary devices were used to bring down the towers. We see how those massive supports were cut so cleanly by not thermite, but thermate, an even hotter version of this very well-known incendiary. That we do have the science on, and that matches the dust particle, the residue analysis as well. So I'll certainly go that far. As far as the mini-nuke hypothesis, I simply do not have that information.
Right, and you know, I interviewed Stephen Jones, who's done quite a bit of research on this, and he said he found particles of unignited thermite in the dust now. So this is even more significant.
Yes.
Not just residue, actual pieces.
Okay. Oh, boy. And yet the press continues to ignore this. In fact, as they used to say to me and still do, Mr. Thomas, when you bring us some evidence for these crazy chemtrails that you keep talking about, you know, we'll take it seriously and do a story. And you know what? The more evidence, I mean real evidence, air traffic controllers on tape in front of witnesses talking about this program, scientific lab tests, independently verified. The more evidence I bring to the media, the less inclined they are to do the story. And 9/11 is no difference. As the evidence piles up, becomes irrefutable, the press is more and more shy of this story.
Yeah, it's astonishing. Their silence is very loud, if you know what I mean. It's very,
very
obvious.
Loud. Yes, and of course their silence, and I'm very strong on this, their silence is complicity, and the media, particularly in the United States, has blood on their hands, and I hope they come to their conscience.
I mean, you just look at people like Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity. I mean, you think, it just shows how literally dumbed down people are. I mean, that tactic is so childish. It's right out of kindergarten, you know? Shut up, you're an American! You're unpatriotic! You know, you think people would realize, wait, this is propaganda. This isn't news.
That's right. And it plays. People want to be told that. They do not want to be told the truth. They want to be told everything's okay, or even better, it's somebody else's fault. And again, that's my thesis in Zombie Nation, is that we have a nation of brain-damaged people and brainwashed people, and the combination is critical. Because as we get further into the cell phone usage, you know, what is it, 25, 40,000 people a day signing up for these things, kids 9 years old, the real findings now that are coming out around cell phones, and this again is at willthomasonline.net, all the science, all the documentation, and the latest reports are saying, you know, it's not the 80 million new cancers that are going to be coming down the pike from cell phones out of, you know, billions of users. It's the senility factor now that is the big panic among cell phone researchers. And they're finding that children who are inflicted with cell phones at a young age by well-meaning parents or in school systems, the wireless classroom, will, by the age of 30, be senile. I'm reading from the report. They're talking senility at the age 30. Well, you talk about a docile, controlled population, right on, but you talk about a dysfunctional population, that too, I don't know how things are going to get managed or accomplished if people are senile by the age 30, not to mention other medical problems attached to these electrosmog pollution.
Oh, yeah, the chemtrails. I mean, you look at this whole picture. You look at the fluoridation of the water. There's been major movements through the years to try to get rid of fluoridation, and it's always met with the stiffest resistance from federal officials. And so you have to wonder, seeing that they don't care about our soldiers or even us breathing depleted uranium over here, do you really think they're that concerned for our teeth? I mean, it's ridiculous.
They're concerned about marketing a waste product from the nuclear, the radioactive nuclear industry, and they've got to get rid of this uranium that's piling up, so let's drop it on other countries. The fluoride, also a byproduct of nuclear power plants, they found out that, hey, we can actually make money putting that in the water.
Yeah, instead of the cost of having to dispose of it, it's a toxic waste, we'll just dump it in the water supply and produce a dumbed-down, doped-up population that's apathetic and... And you know, the irony is, it's not even good for your teeth either.
No, it's not. It does not.
The first signs of fluoride poisoning are mottling of the teeth enamel and yellowing of the enamel.
That's right. That's right.
Unbelievable.
Well, it is. It is unbelievable. I just shake my head every day. You know, okay, what? Oh, really?
I keep begging people, you know, pinch me, wake me up. This is just a bad dream, right? Man.
Well, we do have to wake up. Some people are waiting till 2012, and I think, first of all, the Mayan calendar may not mesh with our own, and number two, not a good idea to wait and for anything in terms of consciousness, and number three, I don't think we get a free ride. I think we have to do the work.
Are they waiting for consciousness to arouse when they're behind prison bars in a concentration camp? You know?
Yeah. I think that's very late innings. And I would hope that we come to a point of, you know, people always say, what do we do? I mean, they've got the guns and they've got... Wait. We hired these people. They're our public servants. People like Mr. Bush are our employee. Ease. So first of all, I say fire them all. Really bad. Maybe, you know, and arrest them instantly if deserved. Fire them all. And finally, don't cooperate. I would really like to see a non-cooperation campaign sweep North America, both countries, where people say, I'm just not going to be a part of this, this killing, these lies, all of this death industry. Let's talk about life and the future of the planet, future of our children. And I'm still waiting.
Right. I mean, these people they're murderers, they're thieves. You know, in case any of our listeners are not convinced or might think that we're just a little over the top and exaggerating, let me direct your attention to the September 2000 Project for the New American Century report called Rebuilding America's Defenses. By the way, isn't it interesting? Recently, that website's been taken down.
Oh, really?
I think
it's archived all over the net, so anybody can just plug in PNA.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got articles from The Guardian covering it, so, you know, the BBC, so nobody can deny it. I mean, this document was real. You can just Google Rebuilding America's Defenses. You can read it from official university websites. But anyway, one of the many bizarre statements in there, this should tell you about what really drives these nut jobs. They actually said in there that we need to transfer the use of chemical and biological weapons from the realm of terrorism to a more politically useful tool. They even talked about developing biological weapons that could be used to target certain genotypes. That's ethnic cleansing. So these psychopaths who claim to be concerned about ridding the world of weapons of mass destruction against people that don't even have them, they themselves are amassing these weapons, and by their own admission, they want to use them to engage in ethnic cleansing.
Yes, yes. We have evidence. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have evidence from I have a very highly placed source. I've been working with this gentleman since my first book on the Gulf War called Bringing the War Home. Talked about Gulf War illness, its origins, and its treatment. been working with a man with very good connections throughout the U.S. military, Pentagon, that is high levels, as well as grunts on the ground, and politicians up on the Hill. And he's introduced evidence, and again, you can see it, read it, evaluate it for yourself, willthomasonline.net, and he's talked to me at length about the use of atomic weapons in Afghanistan on two occasions and in Iraq on one occasion back in 91. We're talking the so-called bunker busters, the so-called low-yield weapons were, quote, tested, unquote, and deployed, according to this gentleman, and in both countries. And while I have not been able to corroborate directly his information from other soldiers, for reasons people can appreciate, I have been able to come up with some very suggestive, shall we say, medical findings in both countries, in Afghanistan and in the south of Iraq, which was not heavily hit by DU and yet has had cancers among hospital personnel, worse, they said, than the responders to Chernobyl, and birth defects, which are continuing far beyond the scope of anything that they were knowingly or admittedly exposed to. And again,
and
that's up on
they've
the
dumped
online.
Hundreds of times more DU in this war than they did in the original Gulf War. And
oh, yes.
even Army studies that have been done show that DU is just absolutely deadly, and yet the Pentagon continues to deny it, and you're paranoid if you talk about this stuff. But you look at the cancer statistic. You look at,
yes,
Gulf War syndrome. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we got to go to a short break. I want to pick up there when we get back, and we'll talk about some chemtrails for those that aren't aware of what it is and the threat that it poses. This, again, is right out of Orwell's 84. This is even worse than 1984, actually.
It is.
Folks, you've got to become aware of this stuff and scream from the mountaintops and make your friends, family, and neighbors aware of it, too. Even if they call you crazy, who cares? This is life or death here. Never mind your ego. You know, this is your life we're talking about. So stick with us. We'll be back with some more amazing and disgusting information along this line. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak radio show every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of entertainment, education, activism, spirituality, politics, and literature. Get involved and make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak every Tuesday and Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Network.
one bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief fountain.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the People Speak Radio here on BBS. Our guest today, once again, is a Canadian researcher as well as an author. His name is Will Thomas. And his website was willthomasonline.net?
Correct.
Right. So go check that out, folks. Got some excellent research on there. Everything from 9/11 to chemtrails to a lot of the other fiascos that are going on under this administration that, you know, mainstream media just isn't covering. And for obvious reasons, they're totally controlled. Their job is to cover up the reality of what's going on in the world, not to reveal it. So, you know, thank God for journalists like this who are going out on the limb to make the public aware of what exactly is going on. I wanted to pick up with our discussion on chemtrails. We'll do that in a minute, but and, of course, DU. But before we do that, I want to catch up on some questions we got coming in here. Here's one from Mike in California. He asks, has Will ever talked to any of the WTC or the New York firefighters, you know, that were part of the cleanup crew or eyewitnesses to what happened, as well as other eyewitnesses, you know, at the Pentagon?
I have talked to family members of those who were killed, hoping to work with them to expose this story to a wider audience. I have corresponded by email with people inside the building, although I have not spoken directly with them. Most of my research has been from published accounts and, interestingly, from initial news reports. If we want at least a handle on the truth of an event, often the live camera interviews when first broadcast, for example, the shoot-down of Flight 93, was broadcast over local television. That is, eyewitnesses on the ground saying, yes, there was a small plane in pursuit, and we saw this explosion. Those broadcasts, or the people coming out of the WTC reporting bombs in the buildings, those were broadcast live and quickly censored, not to be heard again. So I find here in Canada that news at 5:30, 6 in the morning on the radio is rarely repeated even later that morning. But we can often get it. So that's a long answer, but that's where I get much of my information.
You know who I'd like to talk to, and Mike, our producer, I'm sure you're listening, see if you can get a hold of the London Guardian and if they'd share the information with you on how to contact Salem El Hamzi in Saudi Arabia. That would put this show on the map.
Oh, boy, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes.
No, nobody's ever done that I know of, other than, you know, the London Guardian. No one's ever successfully contacted this guy. That would be something else to actually
get a hold
of.
Yeah. That would be good.
I can hear Bill O'Reilly now yelling at the producer. You're an American. What are you doing? I mean, you know, and you know what kills me? I guess apparently since then the Guardian has retracted that story. But how could they?
Well,
they went into detail. They flew a reporter over there, interviewed the guy for over an hour. They confirmed it is him. They even contacted the FBI, and they admitted, yeah, we know he's alive. We know some of the other ones are. It's been a complicated investigation. How can you retract that?
Yeah, well, seven, in fact, are very much alive, and an eighth died a year before the attack. So that's eight accounted for that we know of. And
remember Amir Bukhari? He was put on the list, too, and he died in a Florida crash. They took him off altogether. There was a 20 originally.
Boy, oh, boy. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. They picked him out of a hat, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Check out Days of Deception, again, folks, if you're interested in the latest documented findings on 9/11 and afterwards. This book goes right to the present day and concludes in the part three of the book with some better news, what we can do, what people are doing, how we can use these lessons for a better world. So quite a big book, I think an important book, and an exciting read because I wrote it like a novel following people's lives on that day, fighter pilots, people in WTC, people in the Pentagon, and, of course, none of it is fiction. It's all documented.
Now, can they get this, like, from Amazon, or is it just available on your website?
They can get it on my website. They can go to my store page at willthomasonline.net, and from there, link directly to my U.S. publisher, and he gets the book out the very next day.
Oh, excellent. Again, folks, that's willthomasonline.net. You can check out that and, of course, the other materials that he has available.
Yeah, there's a Chemtrails book and a few other books there, too.
Excellent. Yeah. In fact, I want to get back to Chemtrails, but let me just try to catch up on some of these other questions here. We've got Noah from Iowa, and he asks, how do you see new leaders rising up with the suppression of the current environment? Do you believe that it's still possible to change the direction of the current control?
Good question. Here's a quick answer. I don't look toward the leader. You know, we have a superhero environment, particularly in the United States, with the superhero movies, the superhero ideas, whether it's Obama or anyone else that's going to, quote, save us. We are those leaders that he's talking about. We are the leaders that we are looking for, and it literally is up to us, not a single individual, particularly in politics, because those individuals, as we know, are under very heavy pressure from established interests to toe the line and adhere to certain well-established boundaries. But we're not as people of free choice, so it's up to each one of us to be
leaders. We're the ones who are getting the shaft from these policies, so we have to stand up and do something. The politicians
aren't.
They're the ones that are sheltered from it.
That's right. And so the answer is there hope? Yes, if we embrace it, if we act on what we know. It's not enough just to know. It's important to question, even more important to act on our information by informing others and by informing our own choices that we make every day as consumers of specific goods or bads, depending on what that is. And as
look how gas has been dropping, right?
Yeah.
People are making choices. They're not buying as much gas, so they're forced to lower the prices. They wanted to raise up to $5-6 a gallon, they were talking back in June. But they realized, this isn't going to go over. We're not going to make any money. If people make the right choices.
It's going to get there, and it could be a cold winter, but I myself changed my personal vehicle to an electric recumbent bicycle just over a year ago, and I've got about 2,500 kilometers on this bike. I'm getting good exercise without strain.
I love it.
I just go right past the gas pumps. I whir right on by, and I'm here to say in a very loud voice that, you know what, making some personal changes is not a bad thing. This can be a very good thing. It can be a liberating thing if we get out ahead of this wave and catch it and ride it.
Just drive careful, Will, because I wiped out on my bike about a month and a half ago.
Oh, dear.
Busted my clavicle.
Oh,
I was saving money on gas, but I banged myself up pretty good.
I wear an armored jacket. I wear a mountain bike jacket with armor in it. I urgently recommend full safety gear when riding, especially electric bike. You're heavier, you're faster, and you're really an electric vehicle at that point.
Yeah.
You gotta
look out for yourself, because you know the drivers today, they don't care. I think they really have the attitude, well, who cares if I cut him off? If he hits me, I'm not going to get hurt. You know?
Yeah, well, I drive very defensively. Here in Canada, the law is cyclists must take the road. And that is, just quickly for anybody out there thinking about doing this, you don't hug the gutter, the shoulder where the gravel and the potholes are. You hold the middle of your lane so that people that pass you have to go around and change lanes. That's actually the law here. And I'm a vehicle, and I have a legitimate use of the road, and we mostly get along pretty well with the cars. Plus, I have such an unusual-looking bike. People are more interested in looking and pointing at the bike than any kind of road rage.
That's the battery-powered, right? You recharge it?
Yeah, it's a battery. I've got a nickel-metal hydride battery and a hub motor, very simple hub motor on the front wheel. And again, it's a Bike-E, discontinued bike. It took me a while to find one. It's semi-recumbent, so I'm relaxed. I'm not, my weight's not on my wrists. I'm not looking down at my feet. I'm sitting back in my lawn chair cruising down the road and just pedaling easy and applying power to take the load off myself, whether if I'm going up a hill, for example. It's really, really wonderful.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting one of those. That sounds really nice. Yeah. But anyway,
okay.
Let's get back to some of the questions here. I get another one from Fran in Oregon. She asks, how long does one have to be exposed to depleted uranium before you become ill, and do you know the percentage of returning vets from Iraq or Afghanistan that are affected?
Interesting. You know, that's a very tough one because all of us, each one of us, is susceptible or less susceptible according to our gender, our age, and in particular our own immunity and any illness we may already have. What we're talking about in the Gulf is 2,550 tons admitted in the two attacks on Iraq in 91 and again in 03. Now, the Journal of International Issues is saying, estimating, quoting medical sources, saying 22 million to 25 million new cancer cases in Iraq. The problem, of course, is, and back to the question, is that just a few grams, a gram or less, inhaled will stick in your system, particularly to your bones, and emit alpha radiation. You get the equivalent of thousands of X-rays going off in your body continuously, and over time, that rips up DNA, our blueprint for life, and impacts our immune system and health. So it could be as unlucky as a single gram or a little bit more. And, of course, because this is invisible to the human eye, we don't know what we're exposed to. For example, after a hurricane comes in and hits the Florida coast and you get those heavy downpours, those hurricanes, of course, originate off the coast of Africa, and much of the dust involved in those storms came out of the Middle East and over Africa. So literally that DU is coming right back to the United States. But
oh, it's very easily airborne and can be carried, yeah, thousands of miles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they say you only need one single particle in your lungs, and it'll lodge in there, it'll stay there for years, and a tumor is building up.
Right, and we're talking millions of tons of dust every year distributed by atmospheric winds around the planet, particularly the northern hemisphere. So I guess the short answer to that question is we have to stand up loudly and insist that depleted uranium, the use of depleted uranium weapons be stopped now. There's quite a movement in Europe. European governments are very upset about depleted uranium. Some countries are refusing to use it. And we need to outlaw it the same as landmines, for example, that I'm intimately acquainted with from my time over in the first Gulf War. We have to ban depleted, the use of depleted, and even worse, the non-depleted uranium weapons, the latest family of these weapons that are now being used with plutonium, the deadliest substance known on Earth.
Unless you're not concerned about breathing clean air and having your kids grow up in a nice world that's you can live in and not have to worry about getting cancer every time you draw a breath in, that doesn't bother
that's
you.
Right.
So just don't say anything. Let them keep doing it, and the planet will become a living hellhole. We're almost there now.
We're almost there, but not quite. We still have a window, and we certainly need a nonviolent democratic uprising. Though I don't mean voting. Because, of course, those machines are rigged, and then those votes are
completely
controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got John in the Canadian Rockies. He's got a question. He says, Mr. Thomas, would you agree that the biggest conspiracy may be the vilification of all conspiracy theorists, thereby facilitating more potential conspiracies?
That's well put. Yes, I would say the biggest, I would have to agree with that. The tactic of ridicule is the second in the list of standard responses to truth tellers. First is deny, deny, deny. We've all seen that. If that doesn't work and the darn truth tellers persist and people seem to be listening to them, ridicule them, ostracize them,
and call for shooting them. I'll give the bullets, said Mike Reagan.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit further down the list. At least we hope so. Or
yeah.
Disappear them. Of course, can be arrested basically without charge and held basically without charge. I mean, this is outrageous. This is the land of Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. Like, what's going on here?
They're rolling in their graves.
Oh, hey.
This next question is a good lead-in for what I want to talk about for the duration of the show here. This is from Erica in Montana. She asks, I don't see the logic behind our own government poisoning the population with chemtrails. Can you explain?
Yes. Again, be careful describing logic to any of these moves. The best that I can determine in 8 years of investigation is the primary purpose behind these long, lingering chemical trails being spread behind military U.S. Air Force tankers. And this is confirmed by radar sightings, as I mentioned, air traffic controllers. We know this for a fact, and it does, our lab tests match the Hughes aircraft patent and other studies showing that the primary purpose is to reflect about 1% of incoming sunlight and slow down runaway global warming before we have a literal meltdown of this planet. The purpose was not and is not to directly poison people. That's not the purpose of chemtrails. Is that happening? Absolutely. We know this because the Environmental Protection Agency has come out and warned that any submicron particle, any particle smaller than 10 microns, which is much smaller than the diameter of a human hair, by the way, is an extreme human health hazard, again, their words, leading to an increased risk of death, their words again, within 24 hours. And they said the particle does not have to be toxic. It's the small size that can inflame heart tissue, lungs, and travel throughout the body. Well, the chemtrail patent calls for these darn chemtrails to be 10 microns in diameter. So we have a major health threat regardless of the toxicity of the aluminum oxide that we found, of the barium that we found,
of course, the neurotoxin. Yeah.
That's right.
I didn't realize that the size, it doesn't matter what the actual material is.
No, it's the size. The size is deadly. And as we found, as we found in Chernobyl, when they went in afterwards with their radiation detectors, I found this quite amazing. They said 4 feet away from a lethal level of radioactivity, there'd be almost none at all. And the problem with these chemtrails is when they descend to ground level, it's randomly distributed. So you could literally be 10 feet away from someone and hardly get any dosage whatsoever, and they could inhale a lungful of these microscopic particles. And again, that's the issue here. Now, more recently, if I could just jump ahead here, I found this. I've been saying for years that I have no evidence that chemtrails are deliberate biological warfare tests. And now I have to say that that's not correct. And I have found through my source that, in fact, maybe 1 in 100 missions, chemtrail missions, do deploy, do drop biosimulants with the intention of making people sick enough.
Sure.
That's the actual intention.
Oh, they found
to a doctor or a hospital so they can track the dispersion of these particles for later actual biological warfare weaponry.
They're experimenting on us. They've been doing this stuff for decades. I mean, look at MK Ultra. Look at the radiation experiments they were doing on people. Randomly just selecting people. And you know what's scary? They were doing this in major hospitals and universities. Big names in psychiatry, psychology. You know, medical doctors, trusted in society, working in conjunction with the Army, with the CIA, and treating people like lab rats.
That's right. And they were caught. And we've had major investigations in Congress talking about the open-air biological experiments on people in the United States and Canada, by the way, and Britain, by the way.
Yep.
All documented. And, hey, that's all supposed to stop in 1988. Guess what, folks? It has not stopped.
They've just gone more covert with it.
More covert, and as they can piggyback on another program, such as chemtrails. Again, emphasize chemtrails is not intended to be a biological warfare experiment, but, hey, since you're running it, mind if we piggyback along and drop some biosimulants and see how well this disperses so that we can, quote, take out an entire country using high-flying spray aircraft. Let's remember that biologicals, up till now, have had to be deployed at night and at very low levels, such as the first Gulf War, because they disperse, rain diminishes their effectiveness, and sunlight breaks them down. Now they are apparently enclosing these hideous weapons in polymers to protect them from the elements and disperse them over a very, very wide area. And finally, my informant told me what is happening is that HAARP is being used in conjunction with chemtrails. We have that by two scientists who worked on the project at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and came forward. And what they didn't know or didn't say is that in the biological simulation use of chemtrails, specific frequencies are being broadcast by HAARP that match the frequency of the material being dropped and therefore can explode it into extremely tiny particulate sizes and distribute it over a very wide area. I can't think of anything, or I don't care to think of anything more diabolical than that.
Absolutely sinister, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, to reiterate what you said earlier, you know, in answer to this same question, Erica, don't look for, you know, common sense things that's going to benefit the environment, you know, when you look at what our government leaders are up to, because that's not what they're interested in. They're interested in on maximizing their power, using us as little guinea pigs in their experiments, and fattening their wallets. That's all they're interested in. You are of no consequence to them. Your health, your life, you know, you're just a disposable Gillette razor. So if you're looking for, you know, that type of common sense, you're never going to get the answers you're looking for.
In fact, I was able to interview for nearly 3 years a person who worked very high up in the national money markets and fixing and moving money all over the planet, not in the United States, by the way, but connected to all the big banks. And he informed me that bankers, the same people who direct politicians and corporations, refer to us, you and me, our listeners, everyone else, as units. So congratulations, you are a unit.
And we're certainly treated like that.
Yeah,
I got this is probably all the time we're going to have for questions here. I'll just take one more. This is from Rob in Colorado. He asks, I have always thought of Canada as a place where you live relatively free of the dangers of the environment, weapons, and government treachery such as 9/11. Are you also harassed by your government or authorities for speaking out on these things?
Not in the least, thank goodness. I'd be more concerned in the United States. And by the way, I am an American citizen, born and raised in the United States, came up here during Vietnam after joining the U.S. Navy to defend my country. I bought the Gulf of Tonkin incident, joined up and found out this was a lie, found out that people, families, just like my own, were being killed, and I refused to drop napalm on those people and was forced to come to Canada. I'm glad of it. So I'm a citizen of both countries, and I weep to see what's happening to the country of my birth. I do feel freer up here to express myself. I don't know if the government is much better. We have a person up here, Mr. Harper, who got into office, check this, Charles, on 28% of the popular vote. Nobody knows where this racist, and he's totally a racist, Bush wannabe, how he ever got into Ottawa as the leader of Canada and increased...
You got the Diabol machines up there, too?
We have a parliamentary system that is completely... It's legally rigged so that you don't vote for the person. You just cast a vote and the whole party gets in. And boom, we woke up and this guy says, hey, let's go to Afghanistan and kill people and let's show Bush that we really are on board with the PNAC plotters to, you know, want to control the world. So we're very concerned. I have to say that I'm very concerned in Canada. And quickly, to finish that answer, as someone who was allowed into this country, again, as were some 30,000 other fellow Americans, against extreme pressure from the White House, I have great gratitude to this country for that. We're now seeing U.S. deserters, military deserters, being turned back and deported from Canada just in the last week, even though their claims of fighting an illegal war, breaking the Geneva Conventions, are absolutely true and correct. This country has deported them, so I'm very concerned, as are many other Canadians, at the drift, shall we say, of this country.
Well, that explains why he won the election then. The Neocons must be pulling strings up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Oh,
look
yeah.
what they're doing in Georgia.
Well, they want this North American Union.
Yeah,
and
sure.
That's, I think we all have to be very concerned. You know, check out that big new freeway running through the middle of the United States. There's more to that than just moving some cars around. We've got some major problems here with the North American Union, the destruction of the American dollar, and you have
what
to wonder.
Treason?
Treason is the only possible word.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I wish we had more time, because I'd like to, you know, elaborate on that some more. There's so much to talk about. Your head spins, doesn't it? It's unbelievable. They're hitting us from every conceivable angle with every little trick up their sleeve, and you still got people saying, well, what are you talking about? You're crazy. It's like, my God, open your eyes. Look around.
No, we don't want to know. It's too much. Well, it's better to know. I think the Germans of the 1930s would now agree with us.
Yeah,
you know, it's better to know and to act. And to act, it's very, very important that we act at least locally where we are. We do have some impact and are effective. And, of course, to rally our families, our neighbors, and our neighborhoods toward what's coming. Here where I live on a small island off the west coast of Canada, we are meeting to discuss community gardens. Going to be very important. Very
self-sufficient, yeah.
Yeah, well, as much as we can be, alternative transportation on the coast here that is under sale, bicycle, electric power, horses, whatever, we're looking at some major changes, and I like to say that we are either going to choose lives of voluntary simplicity or involuntary simplicity, but we're going to get
right.
there.
Yeah, it's going to come. I'll tell you what, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for tonight, Will. I wish we had, again, more time. It just goes by so fast. But thanks again for joining us. Again, folks, his website is willthomasonline.net. Go check it out. You can order some of the books he was talking about, find out more information about you know, what he's doing, what he's researching. Thanks again, Will. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Charles. Look forward to talking with you again.
You bet. Okay, folks, have a great rest of the week. We'll see you on Monday. I'll be your host again here on The People Speak. Our guest will be Robert Bowman. He's an aeronautical engineer, PhD. He's a member of the 9/11 Truth Movement. And so we'll be talking to him about some more 9/11 issues. Of course, the 7th anniversary is coming up soon, so we're focusing particularly on that issue right now. It's of great importance. One of the biggest crimes in American history, in fact, the biggest, and yet it still remains unsolved. The perpetrators are still on the loose. So, quite frankly, I don't think you can talk about this enough. So have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Monday. Take care, folks.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. Hey.